Muzzerall, head coach of the Ohio State women's hockey team. They've won two of the past three NCAA championships. And they open up their season Saturday and Sunday this week against Minnesota Duluth. Very formidable opponent, five-time NCAA champions themselves. Muzz, I'll just, if you want to make an opening statement, or we can go right to questions.
Well, we could go right to questions if you want. You can tell that its season has started. I've lost my voice, but I'm also married, and I have two small children, so it's probably all of the above. No, but we're excited for the season. You know, it's to defend a title is difficult, but we're up for the challenge. We have a lot of returning players and some new kids and some transfers, but we're excited for the leadership that we have to continue to pursue another title in March.
One of those returners is Amanda. How great is it to have that experience back in net as you go to defend this title?
Well, as we know, we recruit from the backup. And so when you have somebody in five years under our belt and how we coach and how we train, it's nice to have that. She's steady. She's calm, mentally calm, and very reliable. You know, it was a flip of a coin between her and Kirky last year, and we got a transfer in McLeod from Duluth, actually. So we're excited to have somebody push Teely every day in practice.
Enjoy preseason WCHA. I mean, she's only a sophomore. I mean, what does she bring? And how much better is she going to even be this year, which is crazy?
Yeah, you know, I had all one-on-one meetings with all the players just a couple weeks ago, and she has her own personal goals, and they are high. And when you're of her caliber, they should be high because the Olympics will be the following year. That's one of them. You know, she was our first ever Rookie of the Year. We've won League Rookie of the Year, but not National Rookie of the Year. I did coach both of her older sisters, so I knew what I was getting. But although her sister was an Olympian, I would still say Jincy was, although phenomenal, Joy, I think, is going to break many more records than her sister. She's just got the size and the power. I want her to play a little bit more like Tarzan and less like Jane and just go after people. But she has it in her, and we're excited for what she will look like over the next 3 years.
Right behind her, Dan Hope, 11 Warriors.
Nadine, you had said last year you thought that was the most, you know, talented team that you've ever had. How do you feel like the talent of this year's team compares to what you had a year ago?
Yeah, that's true. Good memory. That was a phenomenal team that we had, but I look at it as we've just reloaded, you know. We don't have as much quantity on the team. Our bench is smaller, but the quality is still very good. You know, we're just putting together our power play, and we had hard times deciding who should be where because there is a lot of offensive talent. It's going to require some coaching because we've got a couple transfers, and their style of how they played is very different from our style, being very aggressive and relentless. And then we've been after them in their fitness because I think other programs train very differently than we do here at Ohio State.
Are, you know, reloading the roster from one offseason to the next?
So three things we look for, I'd say, when we're out recruiting. Your skating ability, your IQ, and your relentless personality. I will make that prettier and better for the media of what than I normally say. but you have to have two of those three, but one of those two has to be that relentless pursuit. Because we're not going to coach you up from a 5 to a 10 every day. I'll coach you down from a 10 to a 7, but we're not going to – you got to be ready to go, you know. It's very sexy to want to come here to Ohio State, you know. It's bedazzling. The brand speaks for itself, and winning national championships and having jewelry is something that kids want to be a part of. But when you get on the inside, it's hard as hell. So they're starting to understand that. Not nervous or backing off from it, but – they're starting to feel what it takes to win.
Right next door, Andy Anders, 11 Warriors.
Hey, just obviously, you guys came really close to repeating it in, 2 years ago. But what did you learn from that experience, I guess, of trying to repeat as national champions, and what makes that so difficult?
It's funny. I had Tom Ryan, the wrestling coach, like, "Oh, you're so close to a three-peat." So thanks, Tom. But and then you had to bring it up again. But you know, of course, it motivates you. Actually, funny story. So in 22, we won the gold. 23, we won the silver. First practice, I had the silver trophy at the center ice to remind them do you like this color? So, and we skated some laps around it, and I put it up in the locker room all year, so they'd have to continuously stare at what silver looked like. And then last year, of course, we won the gold, but I always think of when you're number one, yes, you have the target on your back. I always thought of it as like in NASCAR, the lead rider, everyone is drafting off of you. So it's a lot harder to stay in the front, right? And that's how I feel sometimes, is that we're in this NASCAR race and we're the lead driver. People continue to pursue us and we got to keep up.
You know, it's still very impressive, obviously, two golds and a silver in 3 years. What has been, do you think, the main ingredient in sustaining this program's success and staying at the mountaintop, not just getting there?
Yeah, I think it's how we train the athletes. Like, we're not afraid to train them hard. You know, with the resources we have, thanks to our football program, we know how hard we can push them without breaking them, and they don't even realize how hard they can go. And we always say, you know, a Navy SEAL saying is your body can endure more pain and can go farther than you know that it can. It's your mind that quits. And so we're really big on pushing them and raising the bar every day, because they also say the only easy day was yesterday. And so that's how we have that philosophy and mindset in our locker room, is that we will push you more than anybody else can. Because when I started this program, we were 500 for 18 years. And the one thing that helped me bring this team to where we are today was that relentless FU mentality of we're going to keep going after you. But just because we start to bring in talent, I don't want to lose who we were, that blue-collar team, because we have talent. If we have both, you know, now we become very dangerous. So I think that sets us aside from most people.
Front row, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
What's the latest on the arena? What have you heard about where it stands, if anything's happened with it?
I haven't heard too much. I know that there's a couple more meetings coming, and I'm just going to leave it in the hands of our administration right now. But they know we want one. And I was just going to say, and the girls have deserved one. So we do know that it's a Title IX issue, and we're after it. And if you know of anybody that wants to donate and, you know, get us a rink. But we do need one. We want one, but we've had a lot of success without one. So when we recruit, I continue to recruit that blue-collar kid that shouldn't be the reason you choose a school.
Semi-related arena, but just with the house settlement and the changes coming to the college athletics landscape, I think given your status as a program, you'd probably be safe. But how much concern is there for the quote-unquote non-revenue sports that you're going to be protected, that you'll be able to run a championship-level program?
Yeah, you know, we're in our preliminary stages in the House case, and we're going to learn more on the 26th, and I'm learning as I think our administration is learning, but at the end of the day, we want our sport to be competitive all around.
Right next door, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Yeah, Coach, you touched on it a minute ago, but what gave you that mentality of what you wanted from your program, if you understand what I'm saying, once you showed up at Ohio State? When did that show up in your coaching approach, so to speak, that would set this apart? You understand what I'm saying? Meaning from an average program.
What was the impetus, you know, that made that happen?
Yeah, you know, I took the first year to watch and observe, because I came from another Big Ten school that was very successful, both as a player and I coached them for 5 years. And when I was there, we had an undefeated season and we won 4 in 5 years. And so I just watched. And it was very, very quickly, early, I found some of the weaknesses within the program of accountability. And I was raised by a single mom, didn't have a license, used to go to hockey on the back of her bicycle, on the back seat of her bicycle. We didn't have a car. So I was blue collar, had the Rocky mentality. And I knew every kid could possess that, but did they want to possess it? And I was after them hard early, to be honest with you. And I set a tone early, and we had to weed out some weak, and the strong survived, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe not a moment, but month or whatever. When was it that it became aware to you that this was getting through, that your approach was working?
Well, To be honest, after that year, I worked throughout the first year with an active Navy SEAL in the Focus 3 group that we had, and we created our culture blueprint. And then I, at the end of the year, I showed it to our captains, and I remodeled our coaches' landscape of what that looked like. Because I don't know if you guys are aware, but I got hired end of August, and I met the team for the first time on the road at the first game. And so I was drinking out of a fire hydrant. I had an 8-month-old and a 2-year-old. So, but to your point, I removed alcohol from the season. And because what I noticed was everybody liked to tailgate and party. And I just simply said, you're not good enough to do both. You're not being rewarded on the ice. And so the, I would say, defining moment was actually my 40th birthday, October 19th, when 5 kids broke that rule. And the rest of the team held them accountable and was making them run stairs in the morning. And I got a call from the athletic trainer. Why is your team running stairs? I said, they're not running stairs. It was my captains holding them accountable, and the entire team woke up at 5:30 in the morning to make sure those 5 did that, because they wanted to buy into what I was trying to teach them. And that's when I knew the culture was starting to shape, was because I didn't have to do it anymore. I didn't have to enforce the rules. The team did. And then that year, in my second year, we went to the Frozen Four.